I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
This podcast was recorded on Wurundjeri land. We pay our respect to their elders past and present, and to the traditional owners of the game Mangrook, without which our game wouldn't exist. This is Footy Actually, brought to you by Play On Radio. Hello and welcome to Footy Actually, the alternative listening footy podcast for diehard fans. My name is Kel Rowe, and I'm here with my co-host, Gemma Bastiani, AFLW analyst extraordinaire. How are you, Gem?
I'm cranky today. I don't know why. People have bothered me today, so I might be a bit fired up. I've decided to wear a t-shirt that says Stay Jazzy to try and keep me a bit upbeat, but not having it today.
Balances everything, and yes, I can confirm she is incredibly scary.
Scary.
Yes. Well, we've arrived at the second half of the season, a week that saw the WA teams finally return to play on home turf, an extremely lively hit out between the Suns and the Cats, and some truly stressful games, including the much tweeted upset of the season, but we'll get to that. I feel like I need a quiet walk and a lie down to bring the pulse back to earth, but instead we're going to talk it out. What a round of footy.
And it started on Friday night between Gold Coast and Geelong. Up at Metricon Stadium. I want to start talking about this game by saying, isn't it wonderful to have a game played somewhere that is not impacted heavily by wind?
Oh, yeah.
Played in the evening, so it's not as hot. And the standard of footy was incredibly high. So I think we maybe should all be realizing the impact of the conditions on this season. The thing about this game that I'd really like to mention is Gold Coast midfield depth. So we've talked heaps about Charlie Rowbottom, who in this game went head-to-head with Georgie Prasparkas, pick one. Excellent. And pick two going against each other. Rowbottom had 16 touches, 4 clearances, 5 score involvements. Really good. Alison Drennan, we've talked about quite a bit as well. A leader. She works incredibly hard. 30 disposals, 7 inside 50s, 375 metres gained. Really, really good. Jamie Stanton, we know how good Jamie Stanton is. She ran all night with Amy McDonald and kept her to 17 touches, which is McDonald's fewest since round 9 last year, mm-hmm. also against the Suns. But the one that I think doesn't ever get mentioned but had a brilliant game on Friday night is Claudia Whitford. She started at Melbourne and then St Kilda, now at the Suns. She is deceptively strong and powerful. She's a lot bigger than I think a lot of people realize she is. And her ability around the stoppages, she doesn't necessarily go to center stoppages, center bounces very often, but around the ground, she covers the ground really well and is really damaging at those. She had 17 touches, but a game high 8 clearances in this game. She also had 342 nice. Meters gained. So I'm just been super impressed with her, but they're getting that depth. And then, you know, Yorston is there. Ellie Hampson is there. There's all these players that can also run through the midfield, but their first choice midfield is really, really up there in terms of best combinations you could want. So stoked for the Suns. It's great.
Yeah, it was really impressive to watch. This was our pick for match of the round. And until today, I would have backed us in for that, but it was undeniably fun to watch. Largely because both the Suns and the Cats have brought a renewed sense of footy to the competition. Gold Coast moved the ball supremely. Their attack was excellent. The forward line continues to dominate. Groves Little was amazing in front of goals. I feel like the Cats, they were missing a few key players and they just couldn't quite match the Suns' exuberant game. They kicked their highest score ever too, winning by 11.
You mentioned Geelong missing some key players. Obviously, Annabelle Johnson and Darcy Maloney are really important players in terms of attack at the ball, strength in the air, that sort of stuff. So they were missing that. But also, let's consider the fact that the Suns, without Jade Progelli as one of their key defenders, and Kalinda Howarth, who's been their supreme utility this year. So the Suns did it even without some key players, which is even more impressive from a young side.
Nice to see. And to the Cats' credit, Chloe Shear finally got a bit of a wind-up and release, kicking a few solid goals.
She's been used out of the goal square this year, and then maybe when they're struggling the final quarter, she gets moved into that half-forward role and excels. So in this game, she actually started in that higher role. Phoebe Williams was the one playing out of the goal square. And she has set up the first two goals of the game with really wonderful kicks inside 50. So she, I don't know, should be playing out of that goal square. She should be playing higher. She's too smart with that delivery inside. And then also she has that little bit of burst of power away from trouble and a fairly long kick that if she does get that opportunity, she can also have a crack herself. So I'd like to see her playing higher a bit more this year.
She's also really good in the one-on-one contest. Like, she's just got such a strength about her. You'd have to back her in for a mark.
Well, I mean, we saw that in the grand final, didn't we, in 2019. Took an amazing contested mark, set up a Danielle Ponta goal, and then did her ACL. So that's a fun 3 minutes for you.
Yeah, roller coaster. Who will you play on performer votes for?
So, 3 to Ali Drennan. As I said, 30 touches, which is her personal best. When she was interviewed about it after the game and found out that she had 30 touches, she was shocked, which was glorious.
So wholesome.
Yeah. Alison Drennan's great. 2 to Claudia Whitford, again, for all the things I mentioned earlier. And then 1 to Tori Groves Little. They had only played the one game prior to that this year. Has had some concussion issues, but just has that little bit of spark about them in terms of speed and attack. And I know Kate Sermon also offers that, but they're very different in the way they use their speed. So it's a really nice balance in that forward line. Kicked 2 goals, 3, probably would have liked to maybe be a little bit more accurate, but you can't complain too much about it. And also just had the 9 disposals for 9 kicks. So it's trying to create things all the time in that forward line.
Oh, yes. It's starting to shape up really well. I agree with you. I gave 3 votes to Ali Drennan. I've given 2 to Tori Groves Little and 1 to Chloe Shear.
Because you have the rule of always giving 1 to the losing side.
Yes. So on Saturday, we had the Tigers hosting the Kangaroos down at Punt Road. It was another heavily contested matchup, but ultimately I felt the Roos' ability to clear the ball out of their defensive 50 under pressure was key. The Tigers were really good around stoppages, but the Roos were better thanks to Emma King's dominance in the hitouts. And despite the difference on the scoreboard, at times the game felt like an arm wrestle with the depleted Tigers side basically refusing to lie down in the face of North. A few quick goals in the third by the visitors saw the Roos tear away for a 19-point win.
For me, this game and the past 2 weeks really for North is about Jasmine Garner's flick the switch. So between rounds 1 and 4, Garner was averaging 18 disposals, 3 inside 50s, 3.5 tackles, 3.3 clearances, 208 meters gained. They're good numbers for a standard midfielder, but Jasmine Garner, those are actually really low numbers. Her influence on game wasn't really being felt. And I know she'd had to cover a few players when they were out and kind of play in different roles. And I know that they've wanted to use her more as a forward. But these past 2 weeks, she's averaged 27.5 disposals. So that's nearly plus 10 from her first 4 weeks. 7 inside 50s, so that's plus 4 per game. 4 tackles, 5 clearances and 438 meters gained, which is plus 230 per game. So that to me is indicative of North's form, because from off the back of that, we've seen Talia Randall be more dangerous inside 50. We've seen all these other things happen. Emma Carney, that role off the halfback is more and more effective each week. Ash Riddell is still getting a lot of ball, but not nearly as relied upon. Jenna Bruton is having much more of an impact, especially in the forward half of the ground. And this is all without Caitlin Ashmore as well. So the past 2 weeks, they've not had Caitlin Ashmore, who's actually really crucial to their game style. So I think the versatility of North's list, it felt a little bit like maybe it was gone in that first part of the season, but it's absolutely there. And Garner is just leading the way. And I love it.
Is it wild that I did not even realize that Ashmore was out until I was at the game looking for her and going, oh, hang on a second, she's not there. That's how good that depth across the Kangaroos list is for me to not notice that.
Ah, Caitlin Ashmore, please come back soon.
Yeah.
We love you.
Yeah.
She's a great player.
Who you play on performer votes?
Yeah, so obviously I've given 3 to Jazz Garner. I just talk about her constantly. I think she's the greatest. 2 to Emma Carney, because again, and I know I've said it the past couple of weeks, I am absolutely loving that roll off half back.
It's so good.
Such a drive. Yeah, it's so effective as well. And the fact she had 21 disposals at 90.5%, she's a really skillful player. And because she's playing that role instead of always being, you know, hung on to by 4 players trying to get it out of the contest, she's using the ball better than we've ever seen as well. So it's even more effective. She also had 9 intercepts. So the attack and the defensive side is all there. And then I've given 1 to Ash Riddell, because I think racking up numbers and all that sort of stuff, I know we say that it doesn't always mean that much. Like, you can have high stats without impacting the game that much. I think the consistency that Ash Riddell brings to the side is super important. And that's why I wanted to give her the 1. She had another 30 touches in the weekend, 6 inside 50. So again, she's using her dominance to actually create attack, 6 score involvements and 481 meters gained. So again, it's very, North Melbourne is very intent on moving the ball forward however they can, and it's proving to be effective.
Yeah, it's a pretty amazing thing to watch. I agree with you. I've gone 3 votes for Jazzy Garner. I've gone 2 for Emma Carney, and I've gone 1 for Mon Conti, who, as per the usual, tried to make things happen. She's got a little bit more support with McKenzie back in the side, but just wasn't their day.
It's not going to be their day for the rest of the season, I don't think.
Yeah, it's an uphill, a real uphill battle from this point forward, unfortunately. So our next Saturday game was out at Casey Fields. The Melbourne Demons hosted the GWS Giants. The Giants were held scoreless for 3 quarters of this game by an absolutely ruthless D's outfit. And that was their lowest ever score at the end of the game, just 7 points. Melbourne, on the other hand, were really only foiled by the blustery conditions that we know and love / hate at Casey Fields. But they still managed to kick a whopping 44 points. It was a real team effort from the D's. All of the zones were just ticking over and everyone was playing their roles. Nothing much more to say here, except that maybe the Giants should have stuck with the side that surprised the Dogs a few weeks back.
Yes. Alan McConnell was very unhappy in the press conference after this game. GWS aside, you know, I've spoken at length about those positional changes that they were forced into, gave them a breath of fresh air that they were, I was hoping they would go with, or at least try to experiment more with, but then they backed in the experience or something. I can't remember what the quote was, but they've
backed in the experienced players.
Yeah. Back in your experienced players, but still throw it around a bit, become unpredictable. They're not unpredictable. And that's what won them the game against the Bulldogs, was the unpredictability that was non-existent in this game. But again, we've got to give the caveat of they had 19 players with COVID. It's very hard to come back from that. So we've got to put that caveat on it. They didn't score until 90 seconds remaining in the game. But for Melbourne, the thing for me about Melbourne is they have depth across all lines. So Alison Brown played in Casey's VFLW win earlier in the day at Casey, ran 9.4 kilometres and then was a late in for Sarah Lampard, who was ill, and played a great game, was an anchor in defence with Libby Birch.
Unbelievable stuff.
Yeah, and that was remarkable. But then you think, you know, Brandon Tarrant is sitting on the sidelines. She could have easily come in as well. Like, they have the depth in defence. And then you go to the midfield. And in this game, it was Eliza West. It was Tyler Hanks. It was Lily Mithen. It was Eden Zanker, Karen Paxton. And you think, oh, Liv Purcell had 20 touches in the VFLW this week, and she's on the verge of coming in. Who do you take out of the midfield to put Liv Purcell there?
I do not envy that person making those decisions.
Yeah. And then you look into the forward line and, you know, Taylor Harris kicked another 2 goals, has 11 for the season. Daisy Pierce is presenting and doing a really good job of playing above her height inside 50. She plays with this strength and this aerial contest that someone her height probably is not expected to do. Kate Hoare kicked another 2 goals because she just attacks those packs really well, reads the ball. You know, Shelley Scott kicked a goal. She's kicked 18 of her 25 at Casey Fields. You know, all of that is happening And then you add the layer of, and I think people are starting to get bored of me saying this, Shelley Heath in defense. So Shelley Heath played a role on Cora Staunton. Last week, she kept Kate Sermon goalless after Kate Sermon had a wonderful season. And then this week, kept Cora Staunton goalless. I think Staunton had 7 touches and no shots on goal, which is very rare for her to have no shots on goal at all. There was a wonderful chase down tackle that kind of was the highlight of that matchup as well.
That was great.
Yeah. So it was just, I really enjoyed this game. I really enjoyed the day. Generally, it was wonderful to just, you know, be at the footy.
So good. So good. Who will your player and performer votes go to?
Yeah. So Eliza West gets my 3, which is probably controversial. But for me, she's been the most consistent midfielder for Melbourne this year. Her defensive pressure is just top notch. She laid another 6 tackles in this game, but also won 6 clearances, had 20 disposals, and had 5 inside 50s. So she's like adding those layers to her game every single week. And I'm loving the improvement. Obviously her disposal, you know, could be a little bit better. We could probably say that about half the plays in the competition, but she's come into this as a rookie. She's a cross code rookie. She's not even, you know, a high draft pick or anything like that. And she's in that midfield having a say alongside all those names that I just mentioned. So big props to Eliza West. 2 to Tyler Hanks. She came back from the COVID layoff as well.
Mm-hmm.
She had 21 disposals, 6 tackles and 5 inside 50s of her own. But more importantly, in the second half of this game, Elise Parker had 18 touches to halftime.
Yeah.
Tyler Hanks goes on her in the second half. She had 5 touches in the whole second half. So Tyler Hanks not only played her own game, but then shut down a really damaging opposition as well. And then one goes to my favorite player on earth, Shelley Heath. Again, kept Cora Staunton goalless. And I just love watching her play. And I hope everyone is getting on board the Shelley Heath train because she deserves the praise that hopefully she's getting from more people than just me.
I feel like you've been talking about her all week.
I've been talking about it for 2 weeks. I have her badge actually up on my wall with a few other badges. So there you go.
Oh, I have a couple of badges looking at me now, but they're not doing so well at the minute. We'll get to that.
They're all Carlton players.
Yeah, they're all Carlton players. Yeah. I've given 3 to Tyler Hanks. Agreed. She was having a game of her own, was using the ball really efficiently, but yes, also completely nullified Parker in that second half. I've given 2 to Shelley Heath because I've jumped aboard the Shelley Heath train, as you suggested. And I've given 1 to Jess Doyle because she literally saved GWS from the worst stat possible by kicking their only goal in the very end of the fourth term.
She had one touch for 1 goal.
Yep.
She's also kicked 1 goal in each of her 3 games.
That's amazing.
Come to the Swans, Jess Doyle.
So if you get 1 touch and that is 1 goal, does that mean you have 100% efficiency?
Yeah, of course.
What a stat. Quality over quantity.
You know what it kind of reminds me of, actually? Brief intermission to reference a men's footy game. In the final round of, I want to say, the 2017 AFLM season, Sydney played Carlton. Buddy Franklin kicked 10 famously on Liam Jones. But even better was the fact that Will Hayward had 3 touches for 3 goals and got a Rising Star nomination. So there you go. I think it was 2017. I might have the year wrong, but it's definitely the last game of the round and season.
I love it. Great stat.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Well, then we get to our final game for Saturday. The Blues ventured to WA to take on Freo for their first game at home after being on the road for 3 weeks in Victoria. for half a game, the Blues showed signs that they could match it with some of the best in the competition. They even scored first off an incredible snap out of traffic from Vesio. But from the third term siren, Freo did what they do best, and they made Carlton pay for every costly disposal or mismarked ball. Michaela Morrison was deadly in front of goals. She kicked three, and the fittest team in the competition lived up to their name and ran away with the win, leaving Carlton to lament a 42-point loss.
Yeah, like that's the thing about this game. Carlton went with the Dockers for the first half. They're down by 5 points at halftime because they're actually applying defensive pressure through the middle of the ground. And that just disappeared in the second half, and Freo were like, all right, and ran away with it. I think it's frustrating with Carlton because we know they have the players that can do the defensive stuff.
Yeah,
it's almost like they're just choosing not to, and not to like get in their mindset or anything, but they have players that can do the defensive stuff. They're just not for some reason. And I don't know what the reason is, but through the middle of the ground, they are not defending nearly enough. They were actually better defending in the forward 50 in this game, but through the middle of the ground, that's just non-existent, and it's putting their defense under immense pressure, and their defense is going to crack. Like there was a moment where Karen Harrington dropped a mark when there were four Carlton players around her to support her. And as soon as she dropped the mark, it was over the back. No one really went to defend that ball once it was dropped and a goal came out of it. It's just like that defense is being worn down week on week on week because they're getting no support up the field. It's just coming in so much. So I do feel for the defensive group because they're working as hard as they possibly can.
Yeah.
But on the other side, Fremantle, parochial crowd back at home. It's wonderful to see.
And that crazy air raid sign.
I've been watching Chernobyl recently.
Oh, that's so good.
It feels like that's relevant.
Yeah.
Super depressing.
It's super depressing, but one of the best series I've watched ever. Very good.
Keep it to 5 episodes, people.
Who are your player and performer votes?
So we're going to talk about Hayley Miller again because we have to. I've obviously given her the 3 votes. She had career best disposals, 24. Career best clearances with 8. Career best meters gained, which is actually the, I want to say, 5th most in AFLW history. I can tell you in 1 second. 6th most, sorry. career most score involvements with 8. So she's just keeps getting better every week.
How? It's unreal.
It's amazing. And she spent a week in isolation and still has this power in her, this drive, all of this sort of, I don't know. She's just amazing. And we have to credit her.
Her accountability as a leader of this team is just unparalleled.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I've had to go with Mim Hill for the 2 because she's, again, come back from that ACL. Last week she had 25 touches. This week she had 25 again, 4 inside 50s, 360 meters gained. She's working really hard, not just to win the ball, but to get it forward, which is Carlton's issue. She's trying really hard to gain territory, which I think is worth a shout out. And then also I've given 1 to Grace Egan, who again, come back from an awful injury, has had a really good couple of weeks, 22 touches, 3 clearances, and again, 340 meters gained. So they're the players who are trying to put it in an attacking position, a dangerous position for Carlton, and we've got to credit that.
I still can't quite get my head around how Grace Egan's playing off the back of that rib injury, but he's superstar. I've given 3 votes to Michaela Morrison because she was just so great to watch in front of goals. Every time there was an opportunity, she took it and it paid dividends. I've given 2 votes to Hayley Miller. As you said, she's just having a season, so you can't not credit her for that. And I've given 1 to Mim Hill because, like you said, still trying, still working in the face of extreme adversity, it would seem, at the moment. And then we get to our Sunday games. Arguably the first of 2 very stressful games to watch this round. The Saints nearly upset the 2021 premiers, losing by just 5 points to the Lions. The wind was a problem from the start.
Surprise.
Yeah, surprise. And it was largely behind the Lions' inaccuracy in front of goals. The Saints held the lead for the first half of the game, but a goal on debut from Luka Yoshida-Martin broke the drought for the Lions, and the visitors built from then. The Saints fought hard to claw back the game, but just ran out of time on the clock, really.
Yeah, and, you know, we can talk about Brisbane missing, that sort of stuff. It was very windy. They took a lot of shots on goal. They missed most of them. They didn't break the record for most behinds kicked in a game, so we can leave it at that. But in terms of St Kilda, Nicola Zenos to me looks like their game changer.
100%.
Because her effort, her work rate in the forward half, and then gets thrown on the ball at times as well, it's unparalleled. She was tackling so fiercely inside 50. She kicked her two goals off the, I think it was off the back of two holding the ball decisions because she was working hard inside 50. She ended up with six tackles for the game. Three of those were inside 50, two goals, five touches. You don't have to have a lot of the ball to have a big impact on a game, and she proved that. And I just really love her being back. Obviously, she missed all last year. She'll only get better from here, and I hope that the Saints find a system of footy that can get the ball inside enough to make the most of her presence.
Yeah, absolutely. It felt like it's edging in that direction, though.
Caitlin Greiser kicking 70-metre bombs from the wing.
Oh, unreal. And also the tag team of Sheilor and Greiser. Having Sheilor play half forward in front of Greiser today was amazing because, and you saw it in one particular goal where she didn't go to mark the ball so much as tap it back for Greiser to run onto and basically have a dead-on shot in front of goals. It was just really smart footy from them, and I think they should consider playing it more like that. That was good.
Well, yeah, and Sheilor gets, in the final minutes of every quarter, Sheilor gets put behind the ball to support Ree Watt.
Mm.
So it, again, changes the dynamic of what their forward line looks like, and it's really interesting to watch them throughout a game. Again, it hasn't come off yet for them, but they're edging closer.
Yeah, absolutely. Who are your player and performer votes?
So obviously 3 to Nick Xenos, because I just talked about her lots. 2 to Emily Bates. She had a quieter game compared to others. She had 18 touches, 5 inside 50s. But what she's really good at is, and this game was kind of like a rolling maul, the way St Kilda approached this was, don't let Brisbane play their slick footy that they like to play. Don't let their runners get into space. Obviously, they were helped with the wind as well because Brisbane couldn't be as precise with their ball movement. But, their defensive pressure was really good across the ground. So you didn't see many players be able to break away from that to get a clean kick outside of the congestion. But more often than not, if you were seeing a player do that, it was Emily Bates. And then Wondercat Phillips, she had 20 touches, mostly playing behind the ball, 373 metres gain and 3 inside 50s. I just think she's a settler for them. She's very calm, collected, usually uses the ball fairly well too. So I liked her game.
Yeah, and I believe it was her 40th today too.
Yes.
I've given 3 votes to Ola O'Dwyer. When they were able to get the ball moving away from the Saints' pressure, it was generally through her. She's just really impressive through traffic. I don't know how she does it. I've given 2 to Emily Bates. Agree with you. Definitely one who's just consistently been more and more reliable for the Lions and got them out of some tight spots in that game. And 1 to Kat Phillips. Congrats for 40 games. And then after that, we had the Eagles hosting the Pies. The Pies travelled west and secured a 24-point win against the home side, arguably one they needed to stay amongst it for finals. Collingwood played a different kind of lineup due to health and safety outs and other injury outs that we know about. And that saw Chloe Malloy in the middle and also Stacey Livingston up front as a key forward, and it paid off. Despite coming off a win against St Kilda previously, West Coast was a bit slow to start and pretty much spent all 4 quarters catching up.
Yeah, so Collingwood has had their scoring issues the past couple of weeks. We say past couple of weeks, they haven't been super attacking prior to that either. So I don't think we can be like, oh, they've just dropped off for 2 weeks against 2 good teams and then they're back. Because I don't know that that's what it is. They scored another 2 goals off 50-metre penalties in this game. So my worry is, and that happened in the first 3 weeks as well. I think it was like 60% of their score in the first 4 weeks was from free kicks and 50-metre penalties. That will maybe paper over some of the cracks. They looked far more attacking than we've seen, but we have to take it with the grain of salt that it's against an Eagles side that, you know, is still developing. And they did get those 2 crucial goals that were momentum changes, really, off 50-metre penalties. So I think we've just got to keep that in the back of our mind when we look at Collingwood going forward. I'm still not convinced by their attacking half. But for the Eagles, I think that on the really big ground of Lathlane Park, we started to see their game style emerge more. And I think it's more evident when they do have the space to use their speed, use their run. They broke down a little bit at times with some, you know, poor disposal or a fumble. But we're starting to see something that could be something in the future. And, you know, it's Bowen, it's Neve Kelly, it's Amy Schmidt. It's all those runners that they can use into that space, crowd one side of the ground and then get it to the other, that sort of thing. So there's something emerging there. We just need to see more of it and maybe to execute it a little bit better.
Yeah, absolutely. Who are you playing performer votes?
Benici has to get three, obviously. She had 27 touches, 6 clearances, 6 intercepts, 454 metres gained. Absolute star. Neve Kelly gets my 2. I was disappointed that she was in defence early in the game because she is so dynamic forward, but she did actually create a lot and she added a different dimension to what their defence looked like, especially with Sophie McDonald out. So I think McDonald out was actually a really big loss for West Coast. I think she's really good in the one-on-one. She's quick. She doesn't rack up a lot of stats, but she's very accountable if she's assigned a player. And I imagine if she had played, she would have been on Chloe Malloy. So Neve Kelly had to go into that defensive role, which robbed their forward line a little bit, that sort of thing. But Neve Kelly was great for me. And then Jamie Lambert gets my 1. She just works really hard. 23 touches, 5 clearances, 5 inside 50s.
Yeah, I've agreed with that. And then some. I've given Jamie Lambert 3 for working really hard. I've given 2 to Britt Benici for similar reasons. The 2 of those players in the midfield for Collingwood each week are just so consistent and reliable. And I've given 1 to Dana Hooker because towards the end of the game, she kicked a very nice goal, which potentially, you know, might have turned the tides had it not been towards the end of the game. But always good to try and make something happen for their side, even when the chips are down. And then we get to this game. What a game. In what will surely go down in AFLW history as one of the most incredible upsets, not to mention an absolutely bananas final minutes of a game. The Dogs beat the Crows by 1 point. At home, by 1 point. They exploded out of the centre at the first siren and led for the entire game, with the Crows attempting to surge into the win in the final term. The pressure around stoppages and generally across the game from both sides was unreal, and now I need a lie down. It was an absolute heart stopper.
Yeah, and KO decided to shit itself ahead of this game, so a lot of people were frustrated they couldn't watch it. There's always the backup of the AFLW website, everyone.
Yeah, never forget.
Never forget. Ahead of this game, I was asked for by a couple of people. I can actually read you an exact message I got from a commentator that was doing this game, which was thoughts on what the Dogs need to do to stay in it. And I said, and I'll just read the message out. This sounds really obnoxious. This was the way I said it. And I want to come off the back of this. Dogs are also winning more center clearances than anyone. So they need to capitalize on that and hit the scoreboard. First quarter, Ellie Blackburn, Kirstie Lamb bursting out of that center stoppage, getting the ball forward very quickly. I think it resulted in 3 of their 4 goals in the first quarter. So that really was the way they set the game up. And then the other thing was Adelaide has use the kick and mark game, uncontested ball game to just dominate possession this year. And they just haven't let the opposition touch the ball enough to do with it what they want. Up until this round, they averaged 50% time in possession, which is massive.
Yeah.
That's a massive amount of time in possession. In this game, the Dogs didn't let them do that. They made it a messy game. They made it a chaos game.
Chaos footy.
Yeah, but that was everything because it didn't let the Crows had to work out another way to get the ball forward. And it took them 2 quarters or so to work that out. And then once they did, they were damaging, but they didn't have as much time to pile on those scores as we've seen in the past. Up until this week, the Crows had conceded 1 goal in first quarters for the whole season, and they'd conceded 3 goals in first halves for the whole season. The Dogs kicked 4 goals on in the first quarter. So it just blew Adelaide's method out of the water, and then they had to scramble to fix it. The Dogs lost 2 players early in the game, so they were down to 3 rotations. But that was the thing. They'd done the work early that it didn't let Adelaide do their thing for long enough to beat them, and it was desperate at the end. The defensive line of the Dogs absolutely needs so much credit. Hold on, what have I got here? I went off track on what I was originally going to say because I got excited about other things. Eleanor Brown, Naomi Farris, Ash Guest, Katie Lynch, and Celine Moody, they combined for 26 intercepts in this game.
Unreal.
Yeah, that defensive unit headed up by Mel Hickey, who's an assistant coach, that backline coach this year. It's just withstood so much. And we go back to that Freo game as well, where they just withstood just that onslaught of ball coming in. And yes, it did go right down to the wire. It was scrums on the defensive goal line at the end to prevent it from even being a draw. But they just got the job done. They didn't give up. And it could have been so easy for them to give up. It was a hot day. They were down rotations. They've had a tough few weeks. And they just did it. And it's, I think it's one of the best wins we've seen in AFLW history. What best wins we've seen in footy history.
It was, I'm speechless still after that game. It was just the most furious, pressure filled and epic game I've ever seen. And you could see how frustrated the Crows were when Elizabeth Snell laid that tackle right on the quarter and things got a little bit heated.
A little bit. Very.
I'm being diplomatic. A lot heated. That was the pressure cooker boiling over for the Crows. Like they're usually very composed and you don't see that from them. And holy moly, so good.
And wild to think that Fremantle have Adelaide in 2 weeks' time off a bye with Kiara Bowers back. And they've just seen how a team beats Adelaide.
Amazing. They've literally got 2 weeks to study them up.
And Kiara Bowers will have had a month on the sideline, so she'll be very well rested and very keen to get back out there.
Well, I'm pinging that for matches around whichever round we get that one. That's happening.
2 weeks away. 2 weeks away.
Great. Round 8, match of the round. That's it. Getting ahead of myself here.
Indigenous round. I've just realized Indigenous round. Round 8 is Indigenous round.
Awesome. Oh, what a match. Who were your play and performer votes for?
So I've gone with Bonnie Toogood for the 3 votes because, you know, with Izzy Huntington going down, Toogood has had to do so much work, not only in the forward line where she's double, triple teamed, but she gets up the ground. She supports the defense even, supports through the middle of the ground, gets forward, is taking contested marks. I think she is just standing up for them. And it's a real show of maturity, a sign of leadership that she's doing. She's just taking that on. She's being asked to do so much and she's just doing it and she's doing it well. So massive props to Bonnie Toogood. She kicked 2 goals, had 4 intercepts and 15 disposals at 86.7% efficiency. So isn't just getting a lot of the ball now, but using it well and hitting the scoreboard.
She was also dropping back to support at times in that game too.
Yeah, 4 intercepts as well, yeah. Mm. 2 to Ellie Blackburn. She had 23 disposals. And the reason I want to chuck her in, other than her 550 meters gained, which is somehow the second most of the round.
Outrageous.
She had 5 center clearances. So as I said earlier, those center clearances were going to be the way that the Dogs could get on top. And they absolutely did that. She had 5 clearances for the game. They were all center clearances. They were unbelievably good. And then 1 to Anne Hatchard, who I think is continuing to just do the work. Mm. 23 touches, 6 clearances, 5 score involvements. Anne Hatchard was a very big part of that surge in the second half.
It was amazing. I am about to buck my usual trend in play and performer votes. But I've given 3 to Ellie Blackburn for all the reasons you just mentioned. Incredible. I've given 2 to Kirsty Lamb because she continues to be a really key part of the Dogs game. And obviously playing in tandem to Blackburn in the center there is really critical in today's game. And I've given 1 to Toogood, which almost seems like not enough now. Can I just give it points to everyone in the Dogs? Is that all right?
Nope.
Okay, sure. Well, then 1 to Toogood. And who's your game to watch next round, Jem?
I don't know what you've picked and you don't know what I've picked because I haven't put it in the doc.
Mystery.
I've chosen North Melbourne Collingwood, and this is going to sound awful, but the reason I picked this one is because I think it's going to be a make or break for Collingwood in terms of, have they actually improved that game against West Coast? Have they actually found some solutions to their problems, or did they play a team that is, you know, struggling, got a couple of 50 meter penalties, kicked a few goals that way, got a little bit lucky? Or are they actually, is the system fixing? Yeah. That's what my question is, because North Melbourne are humming right now.
On the trot.
And they're a very difficult team to beat when they're in form. I don't know that Collingwood can do it.
Mm. Not to mention that this is a fairly loaded game in terms of emotion for both these teams. They've come up against each other in the past in really pivotal moments, particularly in finals. So I feel like it's probably going to have a bit of heat too.
Yes, if you go to playonradio.live, you'll read a blog that I wrote that talks about rivalries of the AFLW, and this is one of the ones I write about.
I'll pop it in the show notes.
Thank you.
I'm averaging one of those a pod. Look, my head says that the match to watch for me next week is the Lions v Melbourne, because it is really good to see how some of the top teams match up against each other.
And it's at a stadium that's unaffected by wind. These two teams are two of the best ball users in the comp when they don't have to deal with the wind.
It will be a true game of footy.
It's going to be wonderful.
Okay, well, excellent. That I will get up and about that. My heart is a bit sad about the Carlton St Kilda matchup next week, because somebody obviously has to win that.
Oh, it could be a draw. Everyone could be sad.
Oh, God, don't even.
Personally, I love draws, but I know that the consensus around footy fans is that they're not good. I love
you're
them.
Left
I love draws.
Cheated and empty. But no, let's go Brisbane Lions Melbourne at Metricon Stadium on the 21st of Feb. I reckon that'll be a cracker. And our tips for the next round, Gemma? It's a big one. It goes from Thursday, the 17th of Feb, through to Tuesday, the 22nd of Feb.
Nine games.
We'll start at the top with Suns taking on the Lions at Metricon Stadium. Another Q clash. Who have you got, Jen?
Yes, the third one. Brisbane held the Suns goalless in the Q clash last year. And Brisbane took a record number of marks inside 50 in the Q clash last year. It's going to be a very different prospect this week.
I think so.
Brisbane are playing well, but so are the Suns. You know, you go with the experience of Brisbane, but I don't know that's going to be a big margin. I'm tipping Brisbane by two. That's a very small margin, but I can't see it being a blowout like last year's was. And remember, the year before it was a draw.
Oh, well, I'm going off the fact that Brisbane have just played a game today and I want to get around the Suns. So I'm going to go two to the Suns. Suns by two.
All right.
Yeah.
Kalinda Howarth might be back. She's kicked a bunch of goals. You get four goals against Brisbane in the past.
That's very true. She's pretty great for the Suns at the moment. Then we have on Friday night, we've got the Doggies hosting the Cats at Witten Oval. I'm going to back in the Dogs. I reckon they'll be pretty up and about after this this week.
I might go to this. Might rock up to this one. Could be fun.
Yeah. I'm going to go Dogs by 18.
Ah, that's what I have. You can't just should tell people that's what I've got written in my notebook, not in our doc. Cal couldn't see that.
I just pulled that out of thin air. We're becoming one brain.
Yes.
That benefits me more than it does you. following on from that, on Saturday we've got Giants hosting Adelaide Crows at Blacktown International Sports Park. That could be any number of weather conditions. We will never know.
Monsoon.
Be a change from the heat.
God, you wouldn't want to be the Giants coming off the game that they played up against what will be a very angry Adelaide Crows.
Oof.
Bad timing for the Giants, isn't it?
Yeah, you know what they call a group of crows, Jem?
A murder.
Yeah.
I think this is actually, is this not meant to be at Henson Park?
I don't know that that's going to change a lot for the Giants, to be honest.
No, but it's people love Henson. Alicia Eva said it in the broadcast today that they're playing at Henson Park. So.
Oh, how neat. Well, I trust her. Yeah. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I'm tipping Adelaide by 30. Adelaide by 30.
Yeah, look, just for a point of difference, I'm going to go Adelaide by 40.
Okay. Writing that down.
In a match where someone has to win, we've got Carlton hosting St Kilda. I'm going to go the Saints by eight.
I've tipped St Kilda by one.
Then to round out Saturday, we've got West Coast hosting the Tigers, who are coming across to WA to play away from home. Who have you got?
I'm going West Coast for this because, as I said, I think on the expanses of Blath Lane Park, they look far more impressive. Hopefully they've got a couple of those players back as well. So I'm going to go West Coast. I'm tipping them by two, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was a bigger margin.
Oh, I'm going to go against the grain and say Richmond by six.
Conti v Swanson in the middle. Someone will get murdered.
Yeah. I've got no evidence to back that up. I'm just going with a gut feel there. Chaos tipping. On Sunday, we've got North down in Hobart hosting Collingwood. We've talked about this one a little bit already. Who have you got?
I'm going north by 20. I think north, not that north train is just gonna. I've used the train thing a lot this week.
Yeah.
Even in messages, I don't know what's happened to me, but yeah, the north train is gonna keep steamrolling through, and Collingwood are the next victim of it.
You're on a one-way track to nowhere. I'm also going to go north by a smaller margin, though. I might go 12. Again, no logic. Don't use my tipping as an example. Well, live dangerously and do.
You're just like Rana. You think that me quietly writing it down and saying nothing is a judgment of you.
It absolutely is. I can feel it through the screen. On Monday night, we have Lions v Melbourne at Metricon Stadium. First pure footy.
I want to go to this so badly. Oh. Someone fly me up to work.
Yeah, let's
it,
go.
Please.
I'm going to, I don't even know. D's by 2.
Heck, that's what I've got written down. I'm going D's by 2 just because I think they have more depth to cover anything that might happen. And there's a few of those concerns at Brisbane. But again, you don't want to ever write Brisbane off because they're so good. But I'm just going to go with Melbourne.
And then to round out the round, we have on Tuesday night, the Suns hosting the Dogs, also at Metricon. And that is going to be a really great game of footy.
Again, at a stadium protected by the conditions. I love to see it. Who have I tipped? Oh, who have you tipped, actually?
I'm going to go the Dogs, but by a goal.
I've tipped the Dogs by one. 1 point.
Oh, what a game. Well, that's a wrap on our preview of round 6 of the AFLW season 2022. If you'd like to follow along with us this season, be sure to follow us on Twitter. You can find me at @ro_kel. And you can also find at @playonradiomelb there. Gemma, what's your Twitter handle?
I'm at @glbastiani. Come and talk to me there. Just don't be salty in my mentions, because that's why I roll my eyes.
That is why she is up and about and a bit grumpy today.
I mean, I'm happier now than I was.
Yeah, we've worked through it. This is a bit of therapy, really.
But also, I should probably not be looking at Twitter while you're talking on the podcast, because I should listen to you instead. Very rude of me.
Give me your undivided attention. Well, lucky for you, it's the end of the show. Well, that's it from us for now. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time on Footy Actually.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.